Soul in here, I don't think, does not know this man, needs no introduction, and I'm giving one, aren't I? But I just want you to know that we really mean it when we say we're glad to have you back.
Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm convinced that truly all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, I realize something. I believe that. And I believe that we're here today on purpose. I was leaving yesterday afternoon and driving down the road and decided that I would just call to check on Brother Scott and see how he was doing, and our conversation led to something like this. He said, well, if it was me, I wouldn't come back right now. I'd just stay where I was if I were you. And I believed him. never told me anything up till now. So we did. We stayed, and I appreciate this opportunity to be here with you. I'd like to look at Hebrews chapter 12. I would begin reading in, well, let's just read the first six verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. This morning, I was thinking about this passage of Scripture, and I truly did, and I know that this has a sound about it of being very religious, and you understand what I'm talking about when I tell you about what I'm going to say. I sincerely began to think about the set of circumstances that just in the last day happened yesterday. And I thought, well, I'm here. I'm here and I'm not there. And I truly ask the Lord, would you so direct my heart? Would you give me the message for your people? We're here because this is where we're supposed to be this morning. Would you so direct me? 66 books here. How do you know? You understand what I'm saying? How do you know? You believe, Lord, you so move and you direct and you teach and you, would you so instruct me, even in my frailty, would you so speak, speak to me and speak to your people? I believe there's some folks here today for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died. That's not a light thing. That's you think about that. Here I'm standing here, and your pastor, my dear brother and friend, precious friend, I think about, you know, the times that he stands here, preaches. He's concerned, you're concerned. And I wanted to preach this morning by God's good pleasure, direction, a message of encouragement to frail creatures, those that are dependent upon His power and grace and mercy, a message of encouragement, hope in days of uncertainty. I'd like to look today at three things that I believe are truly worthy of our consideration. And I'm going to actually be looking at that sixth verse, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." That's going to be that part right there that I'd just like to have us think about. And pray truly that the Spirit of God might take what is said to the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ and bless it to our heart. "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." Now there's a few things that I know based on Scripture. Now, on that Scripture for sure, I know this, that God has a people that He loves, for whom the Lord loveth. How does He reveal His love to those people? Well, this is what the Word of God says. This way, we can settle this thing right now. This way, I'm going to settle it right now. How does the Lord reveal His love to His people? Well, here it is, Stan. Bottom line, right here. This is it. "Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." Now that just settled it right there. That just ended the whole thing. "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." And then I'd like to look at what is their attitude toward that divine revelation, because that's what it is. Number one, the Lord, absolutely, without a doubt, has a people that He loves, for whom the Lord loveth. Contrary to popular belief, Almighty God does not love without any discrimination whatsoever every single solitary person. Psalm 7, verse 11. Let's turn there and look. Psalm 7:11. The scripture says that God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. The Lord God Himself judgeth. Now, that word right there means pronounces the sentence to vindicate. A judge makes a call. All the evidence is brought before the court, and he makes a judgment call. That word judge right there. He absolutely sets down and pronounces to vindicate the righteous. God judgeth the righteous. And God is angry with the wicked every day. Angry, enraged with the wicked all the time. That's what, every day. Romans 9:13 says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And that word means just exactly, detest. He's angry. Turn with me now to Genesis 25. Genesis 25. Jacob, he said, I've loved Esau, I've hated. Genesis 25, verse 21, where I'd like to believe. These two boys that we just quoted a scripture, Romans 9:13, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. These two boys, based on the Word of God, represent one or the other of all mankind. Now, he's not just talking. He did name two men, Jacob and Esau. Now, let me tell you what the Lord said about those two men. Genesis 25:21. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived, and the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. There's two manner of people in you. Two nations in you. And here's the way that the Lord said he summed up his attitude toward them. Jacob have I loved, I've set my affection on him, and Esau I've hated. Here again, that ended it, right there. Those that the Lord loves, how long has he loved them? Well, Jeremiah 31:3 says, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Almighty God, he said, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Almighty God has a people. And God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord has a people that he loves. And in time, those that have been everlastingly loved by Almighty God, redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be called out effectually by the Spirit of God, irresistibly. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in your power, God's going to call out his people, and the sheep, those that the Lord has everlastingly loved, chosen from the foundation of the world, in the Lord Jesus, considered them in him their surety, he will call them out, and they shall come. They will come. God Almighty has a people that he loves. Secondly, how does he reveal his love? Well, we looked at it a moment ago and said that whom the Lord loveth continually, whom the Lord loveth and loveth, loveth, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Now that word right there is a very, very comforting word. Once I looked it up. Now let me tell you what this is the way I would always hear that, and this is the way I'd surmise it. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And I thought to myself, I just read that, just read it. You know how we just read it. And that means, well, what I've done, I'm going to pay for. Whom the Lord loveth, I'm going to pay. I'm going to have to go through some stuff. I messed up. Chasteneth. I'm going to have to go through some tough times. Well, let me tell you what that word means. It means trains up and educates. That's what that word means. It means to train up and to educate. Educate. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. That means to flog, to spank. That's what that word means. Every one whom he receiveth accepts in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every person for whom the Lord loveth, God's got a people he loves. He chasteneth, he trains, and scourgeth every one. You know, a parent does the same thing. Now, as a parent, now this is one thing that we truly began to realize as a parent. You know, your children are different. Difficult at times, and you really want to believe that you know just exactly the right thing to do every time, every situation. Those of you that are parents and those of you that will be, you know, hindsight's 20/20 always. Well, you begin to raise a child. Let me ask you this, those of you that are parents, you love that child? You do. Do you want the best for that child? Absolutely. Whom the Lord loveth, he trains, educates. You know. Now there's times that I would find myself, I've got three of my children are sitting here this morning. I thought I was going to have four, but one of them is trying to get ahead of the weather and going back to Tennessee. But I've got three of my children that are here. And I look back over the years that my kids were in the house. You know this. You try to train up to, And there's times, ask any of them, there was times that there was times we were going to have to go to that middle bedroom. There was a place they knew. If you go to that bedroom right there, And every time that we went there, we had a talk, And then after the talk, there was going to come a spanking. They knew that. If you went there, but you know that there was times, too, that there was a chastening. There was a teaching. And it may be a time when I would say something
Or maybe I'd look. Or maybe I would, you know, just do something, and they'd know. There was a time of training and an instruction. And it may not be an exact time that I maybe had to take off my belt, you know. But there would be a time. And usually that time was a continual time. That because of my love for them, there was a training period. There was a time, you know. No. That's not. Maybe I didn't have to raise my voice. Maybe I did. But I did what I did because I loved them. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. You notice there's two words there. Chasteneth and scourgeth. Chastening. It means to train up, to educate. Now, that's not the way you do that. Now, that's not, no, this, you know, a time. This is my question. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. How? How is that? How does he do that? How is it? Now, we must stop and admit that one unmeasurably wise, unmeasurably loving, deals with his own in ways that they themselves might never come to completely understand. I don't know. Why do certain things happen? Why? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, he trains, he educates. His ways are not our ways. Now, I know that those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died, I know this. There is therefore now, right now, no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus. So what I'm talking about right here this morning is not divine judgment. I'm not speaking of judgment in the sense that I'm going to pay, but whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And there are some times, I'm going to be real honest with you, spiritually speaking, there's some painful times. They're painful. Divine judgment speaks of condemnation. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that's justified. It's God that justified. Who could lay any charge? Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Judgment, divine judgment, is reserved for those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ has not died. Chastisement, though, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. I'm talking about a loving Father. Loving, whom the Lord loveth. He loves. Many, Psalm 34:19 says, are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And these afflictions, as parental love, may take a form and accomplish his purpose for reasons known only to him. If you, as a parent, absolutely had the wisdom and the power to order all things for the good of those that you love, wouldn't you do it? Yeah, you would. God does. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, he scourgeth. Sometimes, I'm talking about divine chastisement, for whom the Lord loveth. Now, we all go through stuff, and we are this morning, and there's some folks here this morning, and I being one of them, need some encouragement. For whom the Lord loveth, he loveth, he chasteneth. He teaches. And I'm, as I said a moment ago, I'm talking about some things that can be painful. There are times that Almighty God so orders providentially events in the lives of His people, and does so for the prevention of things that we would do if Almighty God did not intervene. Now, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's getting ready to happen this afternoon, and you don't either. But I'm going to give you a scripture that backs up what I just said. Almighty God so orders things in our lives, chastenings and scourgings, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth. Things that happen that are painful, that hurt. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul the Apostle says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Something, whatever it was, I've heard men speculate, I don't know what it was. But whatever it was, I know this about it. The Lord said, "My grace is sufficient." He said, "I besought the Lord thrice, but lest I should be exalted above measure." Almighty God, Paul said, sent a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And evidently, it was something that caused him great discomfort, pain, spiritually speaking. And the Lord said, after Paul asked him to remove it, the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient." God Almighty allowed something for that man to go through. Something happened. Something was there. But Almighty God, who had everlastingly loved him, chastened him, taught him, kept him, kept him. The Lord raises up a pastor, teaches him. I think I'm right on this, Paul. By and large, you'll find that most of the time within a body of believers where the Lord graciously sent him a faithful pastor, that pastor goes through stuff. And God teaches that pastor first, and gives that man, teaches him through experience some things that that man right there might stand up and have something to say from experience. Lord uses, teaches, takes His word, and he's gone through something and he understands. I would encourage you, be sensitive. This man, I'll say this because, you know, it'd be harder for him to say it than me. But I would tell you this, you be sensitive to this man, sensitive to your pastor. Be careful. Don't let him find himself in situations, whether it be financial or any other way. You be sensitive to him. Take care of him. He's got needs just like anybody else. But Almighty God is going to teach a man that God, that He's raised up, is going to teach him something about chastening. And that man will learn by experience whom the Lord loved. He besought the Lord thrice, and he said, "My grace is sufficient." It may be, secondly, that trials are sent for the strengthening and proving of the graces that the Lord has given him. Maybe the Lord has given a man, called a man out of darkness into His marvelous light. James chapter 1, may He said, "My brethren, you count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Paul dealt with this just a moment ago. What is that? The trying of your faith, the chastening of the Lord, trials, scourgings. Almighty God is going to teach His people as a loving Father to teach His people to wait. 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 A saying, and it was this: we're going to do something today that's wrong. You know, that sounds normal, though. We're going to do something right now. Not going to, you know, to have no activity, but to wait on the Lord spiritually. Almighty God will send chastenings, scourgings to teach His people. Sometimes God's people are called upon to endure persecution for a confirmation of the testimony to the truth. Acts 5:41 says, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name." Now you think about this. Now I'm sure in a congregation this size, there's some folks probably sitting here this morning that probably within your family. I don't doubt it. I'm not looking at anybody right now, so if you think I'm looking at you, I don't know enough about the family side. But I would not doubt that there's been some tough times within your family, within your circles, where you deal, where Almighty God will send and use others to do just exactly what they want to do in making and saying reproachful things toward you, toward the Lord that you love, and allow them to do just exactly what they wanted to do for your good. Confirmation to the keeping, establishing, holding. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." And allow these things to happen for your good and for His glory. All the trials that Almighty God's people endure, all of them are necessary. The trials of His choosing are for our profit, whatever He has allowed you the privilege to go through right now is for your good and for His glory. And you say, "This is painful." I know it. I know it is. You say, "This hurts." I know it does. You say, "I don't know how much longer I can do this." His grace is sufficient. What does it do but cause you to cast yourself upon Him afresh, right now, right now? "Lord, without You, truly, I can do nothing." You said that. Lord, You give me a heart to believe it. We are in no position to conclude the exact reasons for God's loving chastisement, to say, though, that it is for His honor and glory, for our good, is to be brought to that place where we will bow, worship. We are incompetent to diagnose our own lot and certainly to pronounce judgment concerning His ways. But before I leave this second point and close with the third, I want to ask myself and I ask you this question. You think about this. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Now, whether that be
monetary problems or family problems or business problems or work problems or whatever. What's the difference? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. We always think about trials, things, stuff we go through. Trials. What's the difference in what you go through as a believer and what your neighbor goes through? You get sick, they get sick. You have family problems, they have family problems. Money's tight for you, money's tight for them. What's the difference? What's the difference? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Is there any place at which we find a difference between a believer and an unbeliever in what they're going through? How do you know the difference? What is it? Well, surely the difference must be, and it is, in the attitude that a believer has toward his Lord. And this is what I mean. He realizes that what he's going through, first of all, is much less than he deserves. Whatever I'm going through is much less. And he beholds the trials to be that which surely is from the hand of him who absolutely, definitely will do me good. I know that. You think about it. What's the difference? An unbeliever goes through something. A believer goes through something. Basically the same thing. What's the difference in the attitude? The believer will say, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. Let him do what seems right to him. An unbeliever will say, I just had bad luck. Though a believer is within his old nature, I know this, and it's still there, tempted to do so. Time shall reveal that believer will not charge God foolishly. He won't do it. He will not do it. The peace of Almighty God rules the heart. Though that believer, because of the presence of sin, struggles with doubt, strives back and forth. But the greatest trial, this is where the rubber meets the road right here. What's the difference? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. What is the greatest trial for a believer? What is his greatest? Where is that point? Is it sickness? Is that the greatest trial? You know, is sickness unto death? Is that the greatest trial? Really? Is it whether or not you're going to be able to pay your bill? What is the greatest struggle for a believer whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth? What is the greatest? I tell you what I believe it is. I believe it is when those times come when the Lord, by his good pleasure, by his wisdom, it is when Almighty God seems or appears to look from a distance and the distressed saint perceives something of an apparent loss of his presence. It is when Almighty God, in his infinite wisdom, appears to the believer. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But I'll tell you the greatest struggle for a believer. Psalm 10:1
David said, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble?" Turn with me to Job. I want to read you something that just absolutely. Job chapter 23. Job 23. Verse 8. I honestly believe, I told you a while ago about God allows his people to go through some stuff to teach them. I honestly believe this to be so. Job 23, verse 8, "Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." I tell you the struggle. If a believer is sensitive to his presence, if he's there, and he allows me that privilege to behold, to sense by faith his presence, if I can, like Jacob, and he's holding on to the man, he said, "Let me go." And Jacob said, I can't unless you bless me. I just can't. I'm telling you, the greatest struggle, trial. What does this loving chastisement do for the believer? Turn with me to Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Song of Solomon, right after Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon 3, beginning in verse 1. By night, in the time of my night, and that's spiritual, sun may be noon, but I tell you this, when Almighty God has in his good providence, his wisdom, immeasurable wisdom, when he has allowed his presence, though he's there, if he withdraws himself, the awareness of himself from me, what am I going to do about it? What can I do about it? But in the night, during that time, to me, when I detect a seeming darkness, by night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. And a believer knows that he loves him. He knows it. He has a heart that God's given him to love him. To love him. But I'll tell you this. A believer will not even leave that decision to his own fickle nature. You remember when the Lord asked Peter, he said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" He asked him the third time. I'll just skip for time's sake. He asked him the third time, "Peter, lovest thou me?" What did Peter say? "Lord, you know all things." A believer won't even leave to himself. You ask a person, a religious, you know, "You love the Lord?" "Oh, yeah, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Oh, I've always loved him." You ask a believer, "You love the Lord?" And I'm telling you,
I don't know what he'll come out and how he'll try to verse it and stammer around, stumble. But inside, this is what he says, Lord, you know. I don't love you as I ought. I know I don't. And I surely admit, if you were to look upon me and my attitude, my actions, and my this, that, and the other, it sure doesn't look like it. Lord, but you know all things. You know. A believer will cast himself upon the good judgment of Almighty God. Lord, you know. You know I love you.
I will arise, verse 2 in Song of Solomon 3, and go now and go about the city, the streets, and the broad ways. I'll seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchman that go about the city found me, to whom I say, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him. And I would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. I'm telling you, the greatest trial that a believer endures is when God Almighty is pleased to lovingly withdraw the apparent presence. He's there. But if I cannot perceive him, if he withdraws, I mean, you sit, you'll listen, your pastor will come and to prepare a message and to hear it, and you think, I should have entered into that. And it just seems to be a gray, and it's just, and you think, Lord, if you withdraw yourself from me, if you were to take your presence from me, I'd just be out there. Well, Brother Maurice Montgomery made a statement to me one day. And he said this, sometimes God will set a man or a woman out on a limb and make them think he's going to leave them there. And I'm going to tell you something. That's chastening. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, teaches, instructs them. And he knows how to draw his people to himself, how to cause them to come to him. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. How do they follow? He knows. He knows how. Sometimes this way, sometimes that way, but always his way. Recall how you felt when the Lord was apparently tearing up your little cozy nest, overturning your cherished plans to do this or that. And lastly, what's the attitude that a believer shall have? What's his attitude? Back in Hebrews 12, and I'll just close right here. Hebrews 12. Look about the middle part of verse 5. Hebrews 12, 5. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Despise it not. It's easy to hear. You know, these things seem so easy, so pleasant, when the Lord has us in a place right now, when right now, you know, all is well. I was sitting last week or so ago there in study, and I was reading, and all of a sudden I thought about this. I thought, you know, what if all of a sudden I just didn't have a heart to read this? What if the Lord would just not show me
himself in the Scripture. Right now,
think about it. What would happen if Almighty God were to just leave you to yourself? I've heard a few cars just pass by, thinking to myself, what if he just leave me to just justify everything that I would think that was disrespectful to him? And in my mind, I would. I'd justify it. It'd be fine. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. I know that for a season, for a while, it seems so tough. This is hard. Despise not it. Knowing his love for his own is the reason, and this by divine revelation, to not despise it. Ask of him. Remind me. That's what David said. Lord, you've dealt well with me. Yeah, but these times are tough, yes, but he didn't leave me to myself. Yeah, but this is hard. This hurts. What if he left you alone? Let not your heart be troubled. Isaiah, let me just read this to you. Isaiah 43:3 says, when thou passest through the waters. Now listen to this. I will be with thee. When you pass through, I'll be with you. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Lord, would you just remind me of that? When I am where you are pleased to put me, remind me of this. Lord, if you remind me of it, I can endure it, because you said you'll never leave me. You said you'll never forsake me. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Lord, would you bring that back to my memory? In that time, in that moment, in that second, in that day, would you remind me of that? Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Whom the Lord loveth, he instructs, he chasteneth, teaches, and he knows just exactly how to do it. He got a loving people. He got a people that he loves, and he knows just exactly how to deal with them, how to instruct them.